We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey, everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Elisa Bennett. For the past 2 years, Elisa has been turning her lifelong love affair with lead generation into the secret weapon that coaches, consultants, and entrepreneurs use to unlock the power of LinkedIn to unleash an avalanche of leads nearly on autopilot. In her free time, she trains a group of over 650 digital marketing agency owners how to get all the leads they'll ever need with no ad spend, no management fees, and no commitment. And today, she's here to tell you how to transform your profile into a perfectly converting LinkedIn landing page that delivers leads without adding connections, without messaging strangers, and without creating new content. Elisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. I'm so excited to be here. I'm glad we got the system working and we're live now.
Yeah, I definitely have a love-hate relationship with technology.
Note to self, Chrome isn't always what it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, even though it is my favorite browser, it's not.
I love it.
Nothing's perfect, right?
Unfortunately, including LinkedIn, yes.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about that. Speaking about LinkedIn, and obviously this is an area that you have a lot of coverage on, what are the most important parts of your profile page?
Well, there's so much you can do on a profile page, and I really sort of obsess and specialize in it. But the two most important things, if you're not going to do anything, are to make sure that you have a good photo. So you want your photo to look like if you were going to work, not you and Bob and your dog. And yeah. Also, teeth are great. Your picture is absolutely perfect. It's brilliant. You've got a really great smile. You look professional. And it also looks like it was professionally done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I put together a cheat sheet on Pinterest. So there's a bunch of pins there. You can find me online at Elisa B. Bennett on all the platforms. And it's E-L-I-S-A space B as in boy space B-E-N-N-E-T-T. And there's a, I've collected a whole bunch of examples to give people inspiration. You can do them yourself. You don't have to spend a bunch of money. I just had a huge makeover photo shoot session done that put me back $3,500. You do not have to do that. So there's some good tips in there. Cool. That's number one. Number two is right under your picture where most people say, CEO of, and just put their title and what they do. Mm-hmm. So that field follows you everywhere. And that's why these two are the most important things, is your picture is going to follow you everywhere on LinkedIn, and the benefit statement is going to follow you everywhere on LinkedIn. And you don't want to be white noise there telling people what you do, because really nobody cares what you do. They don't care about you at all. They care about how you can help them. Mm-hmm. And we've got their attention for just a couple of seconds. And if you can speak to your ideal client's number one pain, then you might be able to capture that attention. I love to change my benefit statement all the time. I'm completely in love with LinkedIn, but I go away from my strategy and I'll put different things in there. But when I have something that's formed as a question, if I could help you and, your major client's pain, would you be interested? That calls out to your ideal client. And from that, when I have it written properly, people do connect with me. I actually had somebody book an appointment today just from that, from me going back to it. It looks kind of corny. Every time I tell people to do it, they hate it, but it gets results. That's what matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Results at the end of the day are the most important component.
Yeah.
So what is the key to connecting and getting your message out on LinkedIn?
Well, connecting and getting your message out, there's incoming, which is content creation and engagement, and there's outgoing, which is connecting, which I like to teach to use the Sales Navigator tool, because it's got more functionality in finding your ideal client and then sending messages. Those are the two areas that most marketers teach or will do done-for-you services, which, by the way, are considered black hat on LinkedIn. LinkedIn doesn't want you to allow anyone to touch your page, but there's ways to go under the radar. So anyways, those are the two areas that everyone's teaching. And then if you've got a LinkedIn landing page where when you are reaching out and connecting with people, you are creating content and engaging, then everyone who's seeing you is going to know that you're the right person. And the people that aren't your ideal client are going to leave you alone, which is nice too.
Yeah, that's important. Self-qualification, right?
Absolutely.
Or dequalification.
Absolutely.
So you say to not post links unless they're in the comments section. Why exactly is that?
Okay, so when you're creating content, this is a mistake that people use on all platforms. The job of a platform, LinkedIn, Facebook, every platform, is to keep the audience on the platform. There are algorithms that can see when you're posting in your content, go visit my YouTube channel for blah, 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 blah. So when you're leaving a link that's directing traffic outside of a platform in the original post, the bots are seeing that. The algorithms are seeing that. And then they're saying, oh, Lori's trying to steal all of our traffic. She's not even paying us any money. So let's just, you know, see if people really like this content, but we'll just push her visibility down a bit. And then if it goes nuts after that, well, maybe we'll let a few more people see. So the hack around that is to create a post that refers, like your podcast, Lori. If yep. If you're gonna share it, you'll maybe have a visual on it, which, oh, by the way, visuals are not necessarily gonna get you better visibility on LinkedIn. So you don't feel like you have to create a graphic. But if you've got one that is really going to capture people's attention, it's okay to use it.
Okay.
And then, you might put a short little ditty about the podcast that you did, highlights to get people to want to engage. And then what you could say is see the comments below for the link to see more. Something to that effect. So now you don't have an HTTP colon that somebody's going to click on that the algorithms are going to see in the original content, because they're not going to scrub all the replies to that original. So then people that want to jump down and click over, they can just look down on the comment section, and they do. So it doesn't hurt you at all. It only helps you.
Really good insight here, and definitely a valuable tip. Definitely makes sense that the platform wants to keep you on their platform, right? Because that's how they make money, is more eyeballs on ads and
exactly.
whatnot.
Play so nice.
Totally. helpful. And it's interesting that the visual component can be, it's kind of hit or miss as far as it's the quality of the image that's going to really attract or deter the viewer, right? Whereas Facebook's algorithm is very much, the more visuals, the more eyeballs you're going to get on it.
Yeah. So we've all been taught social media is visual. And I think it's more of a sense of the longer any marketing's around, the more it becomes dead noise. Mm-hmm. So the personality of the people on LinkedIn is we're all cerebral. We're all sort of engaging and networking and looking for business opportunities and things like that. We're not on Instagram looking for fitness models and makeup tips. That's all visual stuff. Mm-hmm. So this is the general thought, is that pictures are not necessary, but my opinion, my personal opinion from testing that is if you've got a really awesome image that, you know, hits you in the gut and you're super excited about it, then probably it's going to give you a little bit of a boost. What I think, my interpretation of that information, is don't feel like you have to go out and find a picture to place on it. That's my interpretation of it.
No, I think that's good insight to share with the listeners here.
Yeah.
All right, let's migrate into the conversation of networking, which obviously LinkedIn is the digital, you know, master of networking. But my goal ultimately with this show is to help alleviate any fear that individuals have around that really scary word, networking, right?
Hello.
That was total sarcasm. That's scary. So, can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
First of all, let me say I am a total introvert. And so that's why I love LinkedIn, because it's not a room of 100 people at a cocktail party that you're trying to meet and you feel shy and you really just want to go into the bathroom and then slip off and go home. Depending on what your personality type is, LinkedIn can be awesome. In person can be great too, but meeting you would be my story.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, okay.
I know that sounds funny, but if you think about it, it's absolutely perfect. So I'm doing a connection and messaging strategy. I'm targeting people that just so happen to be just like you, because I help people like you very well. Mm-hmm. I also love coaches, and it's more of an affinity of who I work well with and just not trying to bother anybody else. LinkedIn is a great platform for everybody, mm-hmm. B2B and B2C too. But what happened was I reached out and I connected to you, and sent you a message just to see if you were interested in XYZ, which led to us being on a podcast, which from a networking perspective was much more than I ever could have hoped for, with me just wanting to help you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a huge win. And that's, I think, something that people don't think about when they go – when they think in their mind, I really want some leads. I want to build my business with leads, but they don't think about opportunities. The opportunities on LinkedIn are endless. And the leads and the conversations that you have, they're phenomenal. And so I would put you right up there at the top. And then also Bob Proctor. That was really cool. So Bob Proctor, I am a quantum physics law of attraction nut. I love all of that kind of stuff. And Bob Proctor is one of the top senior people in that space. And so my connection and messaging strategy, which was automated, went out to him and he replied back, and then he engaged on my content. So it was just a lot of fun. Kind of like, you know, if the Oprah of whatever thing anybody was into just started chatting them up on LinkedIn. So
yeah,
that was cool.
Cool. Good story for sure. So as you're leveraging this awesome tool or in-person connections that you're making, obviously you're connecting with individuals all over the world. What are you doing to stay in front of or nurture this network or this community that you're building?
That is a great question. So for me personally, I was able to grow my business by 4 times by a connection and messaging strategy alone, which is a good thing and also a bad thing, because what I've left on the table in that, you know, couple of years period of time is content creation and engagement, which it can be huge. It's a little bit like pushing a boulder uphill in regards to you need to start doing it, and it's not going to be as immediate as if I have my connection and messaging strategy turned off and turn it on the next day, I can have appointments. With content creation, what happens is all those people that I've connected with and that are part of my network, they can start to see me popping up. So now I'm staying top of mind. And if I engage with them too, then, or if they engage with my content, now all of their network is seeing me. It's just a ton of free advertising, which all of that content creation can also lead to SEO, to showing up on the first page of Google searches for what you do. So if anybody was going to do anything that they're going to spend a bit of time on, I would say content creation and engagement, because creating content alone is pretty one-sided. I mean, just think if I mean, it's the same thing as just calling people up and saying, hey, do you want, But if you go out and you know, engage with a client and you can show that sort of, it's not just a one-sided relationship, it's just much better.
No, I agree with this 100%. I think there's a lot of value that you're offering here to our listeners that hopefully they're soaking in.
Thanks, Lori.
And what I love about our conversation is there's a lot of emphasis on the digital side of things, where the typical guest I have is approaching it from more of a traditional networking standpoint. But it's not just pushing the information out there. It's actually engaging with your network, right? And I guess that's in the real world, too. It's not just, you know, hey, look at me, shoving flyers in their face. It's
exactly.
Let's engage, and I'm going to comment and share some of those pieces of information that I have.
Yeah, it helps the know, like, and trust factor if people can see how you would respond to something. And you get rewarded for it, because when you're responding to somebody else's content, all of the people in their network and all of the people in the people's networks who have engaged in that content are now seeing you. Mm-hmm. So when there's a viral piece of content, you can be seen by a ton of people. But just be careful. A lot of people on LinkedIn do something that's called pod engagement, P-O-D. And what that is you get in a group where, Lori, you and I and a bunch of our friends get together and we say, hey, we're going to write some stuff and let's all jump on each other's posts and comment and then boost up engagement. But then what happens is your content looks so ugh, because it's like, good job, Lori. I'm so glad you made that point, versus having thoughtful comments. So, you know, don't just jump on something to get seen. Jump on it and engage thoughtfully. If it's your ideal client, absolutely. And then you can be seen in the light of, you know, who you are, your real personality. They get to know you.
Yeah, that's really good input. I like that. Ultimately, engaging thoughtfully with the content is going to be where you get the most bang for your buck at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So what advice would you offer that business professional who's really looking to grow their network?
Well, this is another great question. So I would say pick one platform and master it. I get these people all the time. They're you know, I want to do this marketing funnel, and I want to be on Twitter, and I want to be on Facebook, and what should I be doing on Instagram? And I'm like, hold on. You need to have one ideal client on one platform with one message and perfect that. When you're focused in 5 million different areas, you're going to get, you know, a fifth of the results that you would get as if, you know, it's just, you're just diluting your effectiveness. And you can't properly, you know, make better and better improvements on that one thing that you're doing really, really well.
I have two comments on that. One, one's a positive, one's a negative. So one is that I agree that you should not spread yourself too thin and try to be everything to everybody everywhere. So I do agree with that perspective of it. But the second side that I somewhat disagree with is that you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. So,
diversification is super important. And I totally agree with that. Let me step back and say, if you were starting out and you were starting to grow your network, what would my recommendation be? It would be to focus on one thing.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Master that, kill it. And for a very sturdy business, my recommendation is three forms of leads on different platforms. Absolutely. SEO, search engine optimization, getting on the top page of Google. They had some algorithm change a while ago, 2008, I'm not sure. And tons of businesses went out of business because that was their only source of leads, mm-hmm. completely out of business. All sorts of marketing companies were sued. They went out of business. It was an algorithm change. We do not own these platforms. We do not own LinkedIn. We're playing in somebody else's sandbox. So, get your LinkedIn strategy down, get your Facebook strategy down, then get another and another. Three, if you think about a tripod, is going to give you minimum stability. Mm-hmm. But don't go to the next one until you get the first one, hit it out of the park.
Correct.
Then you can, yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just wanted to make sure we had some clarification and clarity on that.
I appreciate that.
Okay, so if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Well, I would say everything was perfect. I started out as a business communications major, and it's served me very well along the way. And I've done tons of sales, and digital marketing really as a practice wasn't even on the horizon for me at that point. Although I did work with IBM right out of college with software sales, which was a major snooze fest for me. It was the coolest job ever, but also I was literally falling asleep in meetings. So now what my passion is today and what I'm focusing on in the next year, and I think is probably going to be something that's going to be for me long term because I love marketing so much, is copywriting. Somebody was mentioning, one of my mentors was mentioning that the highest paid people above like top athletes and celebrities are copywriters. Who knew? These madmen people hiding in the, you know, in the back offices somewhere are raking in the bucks. But if you think about what I'm doing on LinkedIn, it's two things. And in all of marketing, it's targeting, finding your ideal client, which on LinkedIn, there's all sorts of ways you can find them through what kind of business they have. And it's messaging. And that's it. It's just two things.
Yeah.
And that's copywriting.
I agree. I mean, messaging is so important. And I don't think there's enough talented copywriters in this world. But yeah, I can see how it's one of the highest paid opportunities out there, especially when everything online is all about getting the right message in front of the right person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Elisa, we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
Now, who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Well, the one person would be Napoleon Hill, and no, because he's deceased. So the second person would be Tony Robbins. I adore self-help and growth things, and I love how he's kind of, I think of him as the Cliff's Note version of all the great information out there, and we all have such limited time. I can't wait till you can stick something, you know, on your ear and download a whole, you know, learn to be a doctor, just boop, but we're not there yet. So yeah. Tony Robbins is the closest thing to that, in my opinion. I was able to do the fire walk with him one time.
Oh, cool.
Like 20 years ago. And what that did for me is it helped me to realize basically I can have or do whatever I want. So it was a complete shift in consciousness in one simple event. And it's just so, I love going to industry events and things just to get sort of pumped up. But Tony pumps it up to a whole new level. And as far as connecting with him, LinkedIn would be a great platform for that in sort of a strategy that I teach about going after your ideal client, which is to kind of surround them. So like thinking of Tony Robbins as a whale, all the people that would be Tony Robbins people, finding them on LinkedIn, connecting with them, engaging with their content in this scenario, Tony. Now, if I was going to go after Tony specifically, I'd probably just go to his classes and volunteer and easily, you know, be part of his network going in that way. But if let's say Tony was, you know, I didn't know what I know about his structure, I would start connecting with people. And then Tony, if he did have a profile on LinkedIn, would be the last person I would connect to. And what that does is it basically says, I'm part of your network before we even connect, right? I'm not going to go after there's this really great company that, you know, I want to get in on and it's a really big deal. I'm not going to go after the person that I want to speak with right now in the first step. I'm not going to waste that opportunity. I'm going to network at the lower levels, basically surround them and then do the connection. And they can see I'm basically part of their company at that point.
Oh, that's magnificent. Like, that's awesome. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, it's so simple and so easy.
Yeah.
Duh. And you know, looking at my own, like, how I use LinkedIn, if someone reaches out to me, the first thing I do is, okay, who else am I connected with that knows this person?
Yeah.
Hello. Wow, that's great. That was a super juicy tip, Jared. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
I'm sure the listeners are going to love that one. If not, then they're missing what the real message was there. Okay. Well, Lisa, do you have any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Well, figure out what kind of a person you are and what kind of time you have. If you have time to go out to networking events, I think you had an interview with somebody about BNI. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that was a great interview. For me personally, I don't allow myself the luxury of networking in person time because I can get so much more. My results are so huge on LinkedIn. So if you were going to be on the LinkedIn platform networking, then I would say learn to use Sales Navigator, number one. You have to pay for it, but it's 80, 90 bucks a month. If I didn't double or triple, but I 4x my business in a year, just pay the 80 bucks and learn how to use it. There's so much more involved in it, though. I do teach agencies how to do the strategy. So it might not be super easy, especially if you're not in a very sexy industry like insurance. But learn to use Sales Navigator. That's the connecting piece. Share value that your ideal client can use, just like you loved what we were just talking about.
Yep.
Find some wow things that you can share that your ideal client will love and engage on their content so they'll start to see you more. Engage, content, Sales Navigator. That would be my Cliff's Notes version.
Fantastic pieces of advice that you've shared. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way that they can reach you? I think
well, you
I know
always...
the answer.
LinkedIn.
Right?
Yes, I love LinkedIn. I'm Elisa, E-L-I-S-A, B as in boy, Bennett is B-E-N-N-E-T-T. You can Google search that and all of my social platforms will come up. But if you message me on LinkedIn, I'm always there and should reply back within a day. If LinkedIn hasn't eaten your message, sometimes that happens and then I'll eventually find it and get back to you. But I'd love to speak with you.
Great. And we will include that link in our show notes. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Lori.
Good conversation. Lots of fantastic insight.
Thank you.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Elisa Bennett for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we will see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.